Welcome to Truth and Circumstances, where we apply the truth of God's Word to the difficult situations of real life. I'm Kyle Lamb, and with me is Greg Birdwell, preaching pastor at Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio. This is a follow-up question to the bullying episode, which was episode 81. Can you help parents determine when it is appropriate to intervene in non-physical bullying or in situations where the child is often treated unkindly? Should we always keep him in the situation to allow God to sanctify him through difficult circumstances, or is it okay to remove him from it after attempts to reconcile have been made?
Great follow-up question. I'm thankful for it. But I'm thankful to have you back because it's been several episodes. So
yeah.
Can you tell us where you've been?
You've
had some trouble.
What's I have. Going on? Yeah. So I've always been afraid of the dentist. So I think the Lord wanted me to overcome that fear a little bit. So he let me go. So to take it back a little bit, it's been several years since I went. I went and got my wisdom teeth removed. But then here we are about a year later, and I noticed some like pressure in my lower left jaw area where I had a root canal done. Mm-hmm. I was at work at the time. I went in the bathroom, and I saw this bump on my gum. So I started to freak out a little bit, and I went back on with my day. People were telling me, like, are you okay? Because I wasn't talking at all because I hate the dentist. Well, I go to my dentist again, and he does an x-ray, and they're baffled by what they see, and I'm like, oh, that's a good sign.
Yeah.
So
you don't like to see doctors baffled.
No, they're like, you know, when they're writing things down and they're looking at it and you're like sweating over there. He's like, I don't know what this is, but you need to go get a root canal at least. So let me send you to an endodontist. I know all the names now, by the way. Endodontist.
Endodontist. Now, Greek, that would be like endo means inside, right?
Oh, yeah. They're going inside my tooth.
They're going deep.
Yes.
So that would make me tremble.
Yeah. So they send me to the endodontist who looks at my x-ray and he says, I don't know what to make of this. And so another specialist who doesn't know what to make of my situation. So I said, okay, Lord.
Wow.
What are you doing?
I'm going to send you to a neurologist next.
So there's this like radiolucency, another word that I know now. It's like a black spot in my x-ray that the x-ray is passing through something or it's hitting something. So he sends me to an oral surgeon to figure out what that is. Come to find out, the oral surgeon doesn't know what to make of it either. Starts feeling around in my jaw, and he's like, well, we need to do another scan on this thing. Which was scary on top of that. I will say, I asked him if it was going to cost me anything. He's like, it's on the house. I've never heard a doctor say it's on
the
house.
That's incredible.
Yeah. So I was like,
never.
Oh. That actually kind of, in the midst of it, put me at ease a little bit. I'm like, okay. Well, he takes me, he does a CT scan on my head to look inside my jaw, and he finds out there's something in there. And he proceeds to tell me, well, the only way to find out what it is to go in. So,
so did you put a miner's helmet on?
Well, here's the thing. He kind of made it seem like it wasn't going to be a big deal. Like, okay. Oh, yeah, we'll just get in there. All my dentists are that way, and I kind of prefer them that way because then I'm like, oh, it's not a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
He's like, we'll just go in there, figure out what it is. I'm not worried about it. I'm like, okay. Well, fast forward a few weeks. I'm in there. And they sit me down, you know, they give me, I was really afraid of the needle because I hate needles, and especially in my mouth. If you've ever got shot in your mouth, you know what that's like. That wasn't that bad. I was like, this is okay. Then he comes in and, you know, you try not to look at the tray of tools that they're about to use on you. He this is going to get a little graphic maybe for some people who are queasy. He cut my gums across like that bottom left jawline, folded my gums down, and then proceeded to rev up this drill thing.
Oh, my soul.
And started drilling into my jawbone. I had an idea of what he was going to do, but when I was sitting there and I was feeling all this, I didn't feel any pain. It was just the pressure.
They left you awake for this.
Yeah. But again, he said it was no big deal. I'm just going to numb you up. It's going to be okay. In hindsight, I would have said, you better knock me out.
Yeah, I would have been asking for an epidural,
yeah.
I think.
Well, so in the midst of it, though, I'm like I'm thinking in my head, okay, practice good breathing, I'm doing deep breaths. And he's like, you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm, you know, as best as you can when they're in your mouth. but he gets in there, he starts tugging and yanking and scraping, and I just remember almost vomiting just from the feeling of what was going on. And it actually was pretty quick procedure, but I got up. He's like, "All right, we're done." He stitched me up. My gums are being held up by just stitches. So, you know, they tell you don't lick your stitches or anything. And you know, the first thing you want to do is take your tongue and kind of lick that area. Yeah. So I was trying to resist because he's like, "Cause your gums are being held up by that." So all I could imagine is that thing's gonna come loose and then my gums are gonna flap down.
My goodness, that's terrible.
But you know, I get up and they're talking to you and. I have a big thing of gauze in my mouth, and I walk out of the office, and the lady's like, "You okay?" And I just gave her a thumbs up, and I was supposed to go to work that day because he made me feel like it wasn't a big deal, but it was a big deal, and I quickly went and got pain medication.
Yeah,
was standing in line. I'm gonna give you every detail. Standing in line. There's this guy named, I actually know the pharmacist. His name's Quang. He's a Vietnamese guy. In the past, he's told me things I can't understand what he's trying to. He's doing math, and you know, and so he sees me and he goes, "Oh, hello, you need help?" And I'm just nodding, and before I know it, I'm drooling on my chest, just into down my mouth into my, and then I notice it, and there's just blood. It was just a terrible situation.
Yeah.
But I got my pain meds and I called off work.
Yeah, that's probably good. You probably don't. You're not going to move a whole lot of iPhones with blood all over your chest.
No, I couldn't talk.
Yeah.
I mean, my jaw swelled up. I will say that the surgeon did think that there maybe was nothing in there. So that's why he kind of, if there was nothing in there, it would have been just him opening up, seeing there's nothing in there, closing it back up. So there would have been less swelling, less pain. So I get why he said that.
Right.
Plus, I don't think he wanted to freak me out. But
right.
The kicker to all this is I still need a root canal. So.
Wow.
Yeah, but I am thankful.
But you're not going to die.
Yeah.
At least not yet.
It's not cancerous. That was in the back of my mind. So I am very thankful that it went really smooth, that the surgeon is not even charging me for it. He said he'll just take whatever insurance gives him. He's amazing.
That is amazing.
He did my wisdom teeth, too. Dr. Pollock in Middletown, if you ever need
oral
surgery, that guy, he's probably not going to give you free stuff like he did with me, but still, he was great. I mean, very thankful for him. But yeah, I still need a root canal. But now that I've had this torture procedure, that root canal is going to probably be a cakewalk.
Maybe that's why God did it.
That's
preparing
for
the root canal.
I'm less afraid of the dentist now that I've had what I conceive to be probably one of the worst procedures you could ever have.
Mm-hmm.
Drill into your jawbone and scrape something out of it. So
we are going to get to the follow-up question here, but I need a dentist. I haven't been to the dentist in a long time.
Yeah.
And if anybody knows of a good dentist in Westchester, let me know. And what I mean by a good dentist is a dentist who's not going to shame somebody who hasn't been to the dentist in a long time.
Yeah, that was me.
Now, I don't have the same fear of dentistry that you do.
Sure.
I'm not afraid to go to the dentist. What I am afraid of is the scorn of a dentist shaming you for not going to the dentist for a long time. Because it's been a long time. There's always something else that can be done with that money. And so I haven't.
Sure.
You know, I send my kids and my wife to the dentist, but I haven't gone.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say how long it's been because I don't want people to think poorly of me.
Hmm.
But if somebody committed voluntary manslaughter and went away to prison for the amount of time that I haven't been to the dentist, you would think justice has been served. Okay. I mean, it's been
that's
a while.
Way to put it.
So if anybody knows of a dentist who's really kind to people like me who haven't been in a while and they're really welcoming and, it's not a big deal that you haven't been and we're really happy you're here, let me know because I would love to have that name. Okay. So we have here. If you haven't listened to the bullying episode 81, it may be helpful to do that before you listen to what we're about to do. But here are the broad points that we made there to refresh the memories of those who did listen to it. Okay, so first of all, we said in that episode that in cases of bullying, we should teach our children to turn first to the Lord for help and protection. In every situation, not just bullying, but in any difficulty, we want to use that difficulty to teach our kids to turn to the Lord. He's our great, loving, wise, sovereign Savior. And so every time something comes up, we want to point our kids to Him. Second, we should teach our kids to turn to the governing authorities to deal with wrongdoers. So Romans 13 teaches that God gives the power of the sword to the government to keep evil in check, and that can be applied at all other levels, not just the government. So a teacher or a principal at school could be appealed to in a bullying situation, a coach on a sports team, any authority figure with jurisdiction over the relationship where the bullying is taking place. So we want to teach our kids, look to the governing authorities. Third, we should teach our kids that it's never okay to retaliate, but we made the case that in cases of physical bullying, it is okay, it is permissible to defend yourself. So that episode was intended to deal with bullying in general, not just physical or non-physical bullying.
Yeah, and this follow-up wants to know something very specific. In situations of non-physical bullying, is it ever okay to remove the child from that situation after attempts to rectify it have failed? Or should you just leave your child in the situation to be sanctified by it?
Okay, so here's my really concrete and helpful answer. It depends. There would be some situations in which I would remove the child, others in which I would leave them.
Yeah, let's start by saying parents should look for opportunities to prepare their children for adulthood.
Okay. Ephesians 6:4 reads, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." We're very familiar with that. We talk about it quite a bit on the podcast. Bring your children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now, we've argued elsewhere that Proverbs is a great picture of what this looks like. Solomon, in Proverbs, is seeking to raise his sons in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And that book shows him preparing his children for adulthood. Okay, and that's part of what it means to raise our children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. We're preparing them for adulthood. So with the trials in our children's lives, we should ask, how can we use this particular trial to prepare them for adulthood? So, Kyle, as an adult, have you ever been mistreated by other people?
Yes.
You have. Okay. Have you ever been mistreated at the Apple Store?
Repeatedly.
Okay.
Yeah. I just don't care anymore.
Yeah. Are you working today?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, you could probably expect to be mistreated today.
Absolutely.
I know a lot of adults who've been mistreated in ways that really could only be described as non-physical bullying. Yeah. And we've all been poorly treated as adults. Because that's true, it may be helpful to let our children endure bullying for a while. And from time to time, because one instance of bullying is probably not going to be the only instance in our child's lives. So from time to time, when it happens, it's possible we should let our children mm-hmm. endure that so that they'll learn how to cope with it mm-hmm. because it's going to come up when they're adults. And so we're allowing them to learn to turn to the Lord, learn to handle things biblically, learn to find their identity in Christ.
Yeah. And if I can add to that, even as an adult, before I worked at Apple, I was not as good as dealing with conflict and tense situations. Now, after working there for 5 years, I know just through my marriage and things like this that the Lord has sanctified me through repeated these difficult situations that I had to learn to control my anger, to not respond in frustration. And a lot of times you learn that through doing it wrongly, and you're like, "Ooh, that." The yeah. Lord's way is right, you know,
right.
When you don't retaliate in kind. And that, I mean, I have invaluable lessons from just dealing with these kind of things.
Now, think about how much you might not have grown in that had you decided, you know,
right.
I just don't think I'm going to work at Apple anymore.
Right.
You know, after that first confrontation of an unhappy customer, you decide mm-hmm. I'm going to go work somewhere where people are a lot more friendly. I'm not
yeah.
sure where that would be, but,
sure.
You would have missed out on a lot of growth, you know.
Absolutely.
I really appreciate my dad for doing this kind of thing for me when I was a kid, and he would explain to me why he was doing it. He said to me so many times, "Son, if you can learn to deal with difficult people, you will be way ahead of everybody else."
True.
And that was his typical way, or his typical thing to say to me when I was being mistreated by people at school or in the neighborhood, and he'd tell me how to handle it. and then explain why it was important for me to not always try to get out of a particular situation. It was important for me to learn to deal with difficult people or bullies because they're everywhere, even in adulthood. And what's interesting is I had the opportunity to have that same conversation with one of my kids last night. I mean, one of my kids is dealing with a situation like this right now, and I had the opportunity to quote my dad to one of my kids. Some parents may be inclined to err on the side of sparing their kids from any kind of ill treatment, and I completely get that. I mean, we don't want our children to be sad, upset, hurt. But that may not be the best thing for them if we have an eye toward preparing them for adulthood well. If you spare your children any kind of hardship, you may not be preparing them for adulthood very well. Now, does that mean that we should always leave them in a situation where they are being non-physically bullied? No, I don't think that's the case.
Yeah, preparing our children for adulthood includes protecting them.
Right. Children are not adults. We're preparing them to be adults, but we shouldn't expect them to be able to bear the pressures of adults. So gradually, as they grow and mature, we can increase the things that we expect of them, but we shouldn't expect adult things of them. Some bullying is so harsh that any child should be shielded from it. And, you know, we've all heard about these kids who are bullied so harshly that they end up committing suicide, resorting to other things. Clearly, they were not equipped to deal with that harassment. So I guess I would want to gauge how harsh and pervasive that bullying is. And that's hard to do, admittedly. It's a judgment call. It takes wisdom. But let's take maybe a school situation. If my child was in a school where they were being harassed by multiple people relentlessly all day long, I just wouldn't leave my child in that atmosphere. I mean, that's so harmful. It can damage them in ways that you don't even realize for years. I mean, we're preparing them for adulthood, not warfare. I was recently so sick, all I could do was lie on the couch for 3 days. And so I watched about 12 hours of a documentary on World War II.
Wow.
And there were people who came back from that war who were just never the same. I mean, they were mentally damaged because of the relentless stress of combat. And if you talk to people who have been horribly bullied, they look and talk like survivors of war. I mean, overwhelming bullying by a multitude can be just like combat. You talk to people who have been relentlessly bullied, they exhibit signs of what psychologists would call PTSD. If it's one person, And it seems like a personal thing, like this one bully has an issue with your child or my child, I might be more inclined to just help my child endure that. But an onslaught by many people, my child is being singled out by the whole school, I wouldn't leave my kid in that. I'd pull them out, I'd homeschool them, I'd send them to another school, I'd do whatever needed to be done. They're not being made stronger by that. I mean, they're being damaged by that. So we should shelter our kids from some things. We need wisdom to know what those things are. Maybe a good question to ask ourselves is this particular situation going to help them or damage them long term? And admittedly, it may be hard to answer that question, but we just need a lot of prayer. And again, some parents are going to lean towards saving their kids from any kind of difficulty. Others may lean toward letting their kids tough it out in the worst of situations. Neither of those extremes is good for the kids. I mean, they need some stretching because they're being prepared for adulthood. They need to be sheltered as well because they aren't yet adults. We just need to pray for wisdom about how to navigate, when to leave them, when to shelter them.
Yeah, a lot of helpful things here, yeah. Greg. If you guys enjoyed this episode, please share it. Until next time.
Yes, thank you.
This has been Truth and Circumstances. You can visit our website at truthandcircumstances.com. If you have any questions you'd like to hear us address on the podcast, you can email those to questions@truthandcircumstances.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and ask your questions there. Truth and Circumstances is a ministry of Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.